afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with my co-host, Dave Allen, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Wednesday, May 9th, 2018. It's great to have Dave back today. Say hello, Dave.
Happy hump day, Melody.
Yes,
good
it is.
Good to be back.
Yeah, we're glad that you're back. We're glad you're here with us. We also have Wendy Wilson. She'll be joining us right after the market report today. So let's go ahead and get started. We got lots to talk about. We'll be talking about job openings. Of course, we're going to be talking about Iran in the second and third segment today. We're going to talk about the CPI. So there's a lot of things, financial news that we're going to talk about that you don't hear anywhere else. Because everybody is just so focused on fighting with them, one another, calling each other names and fake news and all this kind of stuff, that at least we're here talking about the news and what really affects your pocketbook. So gold today, it affected your pocketbook a little bit, but to the wrong direction. A little pressure on gold today, down $240 at $1,312. We have silver up 5 pennies today, $16.59. Platinum was up $2 today at $919. Palladium was up $7 at $982. Let's take a peek at the index. It was stronger earlier in the day. It did reverse itself just a tad, down 0.02. But still over 93 at 93.05. Crude oil up huge, up $2.11 at 71.17. I guess I have to work on that. The Dow was up big today at 182 points at 24,542. The NASDAQ was up 73 at 7,339. And the S&P was up 25 at 2,697. 10-year yield, 3%, up 1.18%. And euro, of course, pressure on that with the dollar being stronger most of the day. European markets barely moved overnight, so not a lot of action in the Asian and European markets. And I'm not sure what they're doing, whether we're all holding our breath, waiting to see what's going to happen. And these are things we'll talk about right after this first segment with Wendy Wilson from Apothecary Herbs. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Good afternoon, Melody, and hello, Dave.
Hi.
I thought we'd talk about the eye health connection to some of our real important internal organs. A lot of people don't know there's a big connection between some of these organs and our eye health. You know, our vision's real precious. It's really a blessing, and often we can put it at risk and not even know it. So our skin absorbs a lot, especially around the eye. It can quickly, whatever you put on the skin enters the bloodstream in a few minutes. So a lot of times when we put ointments and creams, maybe anti-wrinkle products to treat that, or maybe prescription meds to treat dermatitis, especially around the eye, it can put your vision at some serious risk. So you always want to check your side effects, as some treatments can damage the optic nerve in the eye and cause glaucoma. So I don't know if you've seen this, Melanie and Dave. There's a TV commercial on. It's advertising a topical cream to remove the puffiness under your eyes, the bags under your eyes. Have you, it's called Plexiderm. Have you seen that one?
Yes, I have.
Okay, so it's shown in the TV commercials to remove the baggy skin around the eye within about 10 minutes, and it supposedly lasts for hours. But this is a cosmetic, and it's a temporary thing, and it would require repeated applications of the product. So the ingredient list kind of reads that it has silicate minerals in it. Now, silica is often added to beauty cosmetics to absorb a lot of oils and sweat, also to make your makeup adhere better. But this in itself wouldn't really send off any real red flags to consumers or even medical doctors. However, the silicate minerals in this product do not come from plants, but they come from shale. And shale is a toxic substance. So shale is often used in construction. They use it as an aggregate. It also is used in petro products. It also offers a cancer risk, and it's in the category 1A for carcinogens. So put another way, it's in the same carcinogen category as asbestos. So repeat exposure to it will target the organ it touches, and then it becomes possibly a category 2, causing cell mutation. Now, most commercial products containing shale actually recommend you wear hazard gear when you handle it. So I find this very bizarre that it's in this product. Here is what the European regulatory classification says, and also OSHA, our U.S. United States Occupational Safety Health Administration, concurs. They say Category 1A is based on human evidence, human studies, that establishes a causal relationship between exposure to the substance and the development of cancer. So this product, in my opinion, use extreme wisdom and discernment. Let's put it that way. Some of the other ingredients in the product around your eye that you would be applying, it has hyaluronic acid, which can cause muscle pain, stiffness, joint pain, difficulty moving. It has phenoxyethanol, which is supposed to be on the safe mineral list, but it can cause a lot of skin and lung irritation. It's also toxic to your kidneys, your nervous system, your liver, and with repeat exposure through your skin, it's a toxin, and also if you inhale or ingest it. It also contains ethyl hexoglycerin, and you want to avoid this because it has a risk that can mess with your reproductive system, endocrine system, skin. It's also an organ toxin and a carcinogen. And then it also has magnesium aluminum silicate, and concentrations of this can cause fibrogenicity of the skin and irritation. So consumers want to think twice before they put anything topical on their skin. Most people think, oh, it's hyperallergenic, or it's this, or it's that, it's safe. Maybe not. You need to check it out. Now, the silica that's not from plants, the kind we were just talking about, the shale, used a lot in the cosmetic industry, but they get a lot of this from rock material, and it's often in a crystalline silica form, and then they hydrate it, and the name changes to silicone dioxide. And there are reports that when you get repeat exposure to this, it causes a lot of health problems, and the list is this. Your nails can turn blue, you can get a chronic dry cough, have a loss of appetite, shortness of breath, sleep problems, and what they call silicosis, which is lung fibrosis if you inhale the product. So, but I want to get to the kidney and the liver link that affects your vision, because a special connection, obviously, between your eyes and your kidneys, according to the U.S. National Library of Medicine and National Institutes of Health, our eyes are the window to our kidneys, and if you have kidney disease, your eyes are affected. So there's the scientific connection, and most evident, obviously, with diabetics. But it all started in 1836 when a British physician by the name of Richard Bright, he happened to notice clinical signs between kidney disease and blindness, and he proved that certain ocular disorders or vision impairment are a secondary condition that's linked to the systemic disease. So over the centuries, medicine has observed that certain medicines like steroids, make our vision problems worse. So you don't want to be on steroids long term. And so high blood pressure can also play a role, affect your optic nerve of your eye, and abnormal blood vessels in your eye can leak and cause visual impairment. So diabetics have an increased risk of hypertension by about 70%. And most diabetics find that they are diabetic when they go get a visual exam. Here's what Dr. Chung Wong and Dr. S. Benzel of Clinical Kidney Journal say. They say chronic renal failure is first presented through an ophthalmology exam regarding a complaint, and then it reveals they have renal insufficiency. I had no idea. That's how people usually find out they have renal failure. Did you?
No, I had no idea.
I didn't either. So they also say retinitis pigmentosa, cataracts, retinopathy, glaucoma are all associated with renal dysfunction, and it's all well documented. Yeah. Okay, now, I love the Asians. They're kind of quirky and interesting, and the Chinese have this, their charts, and they have a connection that the eyes have. 2,000 years of ancient writings reveal that eye health is connected to a lot of internal organs, especially our liver. And I know that when organs get congested with a lot of toxicity, that it can make our vision suffer. So, but in the traditional Chinese medicine, they have this list of connections. So they say your lenses of your eye and your pupil of your eye are linked to your kidneys. They say your sclera, which is the white part of your eye, is linked to your lungs. They say the eye arteries and veins linked to cardio or heart. and your top eyelids are linked to your spleen, not too far off from the liver. Your bottom eyelids linked to your stomach, your cornea and iris linked to liver, and eye circulation is linked to your spleen and stomach. So here's a quote from Dr. Mark Grossman, U.S. Military Academy. He says this: the body does not work as a series of parts in isolation, but as a dynamically integrated living system. Every cell has receptors and neurotransmitters. So in a real sense, every cell is a nerve cell, and every cell is really the foundation of vision. End of quote. Anybody have any questions?
No, and you know, it's something interesting. It's our eyes. You know, we usually go and get a checkup every now and then, and we get older, we lose our vision, and you know, we get the, you know, the reading glasses at the drugstore, and you know, we're good to go unless you have issues. And it is something that most people probably neglect until they're, you know, in their 60s and 70s, because there's, before that, there's really no need.
Well, I often say, you know, a lot of these abnormalities are common but not normal. Okay, so if you know, if you read the Bible, we're supposed to live to an easy 120 years. And Moses died at 120 and his eyes were not dim. So God went to the special point of telling us he had perfect vision, which means he was in good health. So let me go over real quickly the eyes and the liver connection. This is a quote from Dr. Gloria Gilbray. She's a homeopathic physician and author. She says, at first glance, you'd think the liver has about as much in common with your eyes as milk and champagne, end of quote. So, yeah, most people don't make this connection because we're so used to, you know, modern medicine having all these specialties. You know, you go to the bone doctor, you go to the internal medicine doctor, you go to the eye doctor. They're all separate, you know. To the liver, to help the liver, you know, to help the liver regenerate, because the liver has to purge a lot of toxins out of the blood system, and your blood system is the delivery system of nutrition and to also take away toxic debris. So if the liver's not cleansing the blood well enough, because it has to create a lot of enzymes to do that, then of course the blood is going to be what we call sick blood. And with diabetics, they're sugarholics, basically. So their blood is really laden down with sugar. And when you get sugar, sugar does not heal anything and doesn't feed anything well. So this is why they have poor vision. But anyway, so the liver's important. And to help the liver out, let me ask you, Melanie, the liver is one of these organs that regenerates. Do you know how fast it's supposed to regenerate? Do you want to take a guess?
I don't know, but I understand it's, like, pretty fast.
Yep. How about Dave? Dave, you want to take a guess?
No, I have no clue, but I'll guess anyway, probably 6 months.
Well, that's a good guess. Well, actually, in the perfect world, if we were back in the Garden of Eden, we'd have a new liver every 30 days.
Oh, my word.
Wow.
And that's not happening with all our toxicity and smoking and drinking and carrying on and prescription meds. So to help the liver regenerate and to replace old cells with healthy new ones or sick cells with healthy new ones, you want to eat lots of antioxidants. And one of the herbs that I like to use is milk thistle. And you also want to protect the liver, so avoid the sugar, overdue in sugar and alcohol and caffeine. Also, food additives agitate the liver, so flavor enhancers, food colorings, and preservatives, as well as some medications, really put your liver in duress. So pain relievers like your acetaminophen, Tylenol, and non-steroidal anti-inflammatory meds force the liver to manufacture more enzymes to neutralize the toxins in those drugs. Also, prescription meds, the same thing. So it can exhaust the liver, and if it can't keep up with enzyme production, this is when the liver starts to get sick, okay? And if you're on a specific medicine and the doctor wants you to come in for blood work every 3 to 4 months to check your liver profile, he's checking those liver enzymes to see. Once those liver enzymes start to get out of whack, the damage is being done to the liver, and they usually take a patient off the drug at that point. So some of the other herbs that help the liver are dandelion root has lots of vitamins to assist the liver, especially with bile function on a cellular level, takes the stress off. Burdock root works like a blood purifier, so does red clover. And also willow bark and meadowsweet, if you need a natural pain anti-inflammatory, you can use that without stressing the liver. So you've got some herbal options out there. The other thing about the eyes is you don't want to get dehydrated, because the eyes are 98% water. And a lot of people suffer from a lot of dry eye conditions and vision problems. And Americans, on average, are dehydrated. And do you know why I know this?
Why is that?
Well, most people, it's the beverages they're drinking. They'll get up and they'll have coffee or tea for breakfast. Then they'll have maybe iced tea or a soda at lunch, and maybe some more caffeine midday. And then at dinner, maybe alcohol or more iced tea. And these are all caffeine or dehydrating type of beverages. And you have a thirst mechanism that once you get to a certain point of dehydration, it's not working properly. Okay. So if you want to test to see if your thirst mechanism's off, for 2 weeks, drink nothing but water. Okay. Now you can put a little lemon in with your water, but don't just drink water, and you'll see how thirsty you are after 2 weeks. Okay. It's an easy test.
You drink water with just a cup of coffee in the morning. Just one?
Well, if you're
going to... I need my coffee.
I know. If you're going to have a cup of coffee, try to counter the dehydrating effect by drinking an extra glass of water. So for every cup of coffee, one glass of water. But the eye surface really is called basal tear film, and it can dry out, causing dry eye symptoms. And high temperatures and low humidity puts in a lot of intense sunlight can evaporate that tear film. So a lot of people are putting in those wetting drops. So, you know, avoid, you know, the air conditioner blowing on you in the car, sitting under ceiling fans, and try not to make your house too cool, because you're dehumidifying it. So I know we're running out of time, but there's lots of herbs for the blood pressure issue, the diabetic issue, the kidney, bladder, and the liver issue, as well as the herbal eye wash if you want to detox the eye. So there's lots of obvious things you can do, as well as, you know, change the diet. There you go.
Great info. Give us your contact information, Wendy.
Absolutely. They can reach out to us at 866-229-3663. Apothecary Herbs at 866-229-3663. The website is thepowerherbs.com. We are having our Mother's Day special, 20% off on orders of $50 or more through the 14th. So give us a call.
That sounds like a great deal, ladies and gentlemen. Give her a call. You really do have some great product. I should get myself some of your eye wash. I do need some of that eye wash.
Well,
allergy.
Just send me an email what you need. And, you know, just remember the antioxidant foods, the omega-3 fatty acid foods will reduce the likelihood of cataracts. Okay?
Well, all righty. Appreciate it, Wendy. Thank you very much. And we'll talk to you soon and again next Wednesday. Thank you. And we'll be returning right after these few short commercials. Thank you for joining us today.
We will find you acting on your best behavior. Turn your back on Mother Nature. Everybody wants to rule the world.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. CommonSenseVoicesOfIntegrity.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Back to you, gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. Visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com, and make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. And, of course, you can listen to these programs archived on a long-term basis, and you can go back years. I bet you could even find some Bob Chapman recordings there if you went back to the very beginning. But 800-375-4188. And I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Dave Allen. And it's great to have him back today. And there's a lot of things heading out in the headline news today. And I'll tell you what, Dave, it's you start reporting on something, and if you look at the news again, it's already changing.
Yeah.
It's tough to keep up with all the various announcements and things that we're experiencing.
Call it the news in the age of Twitter.
I guess. But I think everybody knows, and I just wanted to go to, before we head off on to... we wanted to talk a little bit about, we're going to do the Iran and so forth. I did want to just mention briefly, if I can find it here, and there was a big explosion last night, on not literally, but where the Stormy's attorneys released information about special accounts that money has been dumped inside, and I don't want to get too much into that right now because we really don't know too much about it. So there's, you know, two sides to everything, and I don't know if it's just a lot of speculation what the documentation is and so forth, but I certainly hope that is not true. And we'll just have to trying to find this article here, and it's just it just is failing me to find this information, but I think everyone is pretty much up to date as far as North Korea's releasing the three American prisoners. I think that is a big deal. Trump is to greet them at 2 a.m. Tonight or tomorrow morning, however you want to view it. And it's interesting to see that that came, hours after he had withdrew the United States from the Iranian accord. And it's some countries, the Saudis are very excited about us doing that, Israel, of course, and then the European countries, not so much. And so you could read things into both ways. I actually came across today an article that says all the reasons that Trump gave, a lot of those things just aren't true. And I didn't have a chance to look at it as far as like some of the sanctions that, you know, they talked about, you know, we're going to slap the big sanctions back on Iran. Well, the sanctions never really came off. They still weren't involved in the world of banking. And the list just went on and on and on. And so I have yet to explore that. I just came across that prior to this program. So, you know, ladies and gentlemen, we talk about fake news, and it's like we want to believe who we want to believe, but then you can't ignore some of the noise coming from the other side to find the truth. and I hope it's all wrong, but you know, maybe we'll follow up on that later on in the program. But we had Trump announce yesterday about the withdrawal of the United States. We talked a little bit about this yesterday. We're just getting into a little bit deeper today, and then we'll head on to the financial news. And the 3% yield, and a little bit about gold, why you need to purchase gold. And gold is still does what it always has done. But so he said that we will be instituting the highest level of economic sanction. And that's the part I was referencing, that the sanctions never really came off. Any nation that helps Iran in the quest for nuclear weapons could also be strongly sanctioned by the United States. This agreement was in 2015. It was to lift the sanctions, but I'm not quite sure exactly which ones came off, and the heavy ones, the banking is the one that would really have an impact on Iran, were still in place. In exchange for sanctions, Iran accepted limits on its nuclear program and allowed international inspectors into its facilities. Of course, this is one of Trump's campaign promises to leave this accord, and the Trump administration will restore all sanctions on Iran suspended under the deal, and it is a broad range of penalties. The Treasury Department says the sanctions go into place immediately, and whether they came off or not, again, as I mentioned, and the Treasury is going to allow foreign companies to wind down their existing contracts with Iran over a 90 and 100-day period. And this was something else, the big company that came out is Boeing. And they were supposed to get an order, I think, for 80 planes or, you know, somewhere in that area. And you know, nothing was really done so far. So
yeah, we talk about that in a minute. Okay. Melody, you know, European nations are allies who are dismayed, to say the least, sought to salvage the Iranian nuclear pact after our Prez pulled the U.S. out of the accord. The deal is not dead, said France's foreign minister. There's an American withdrawal from the deal, but the deal is still there. Now, Iranian Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, who had backed the deal only reluctantly and remained suspicious of Washington, accused Trump of lying, saying, "Mr. Trump, I tell you on behalf of the Iranian people, you've made a mistake." French President Emmanuel Macron, that's Stephen Colbert's pronunciation, I like that, Macron, was due to speak later in the day to his Iranian counterpart, Hassan Rouhani. Iran also signaled its willingness to talk, that is, to the French. Trump announced on Tuesday he would reimpose U.S. Economic sanctions on Iran to undermine what he called a horrible one-sided deal that should have never, ever been made. Now, the 2015 agreement, which was worked out by the United States and five other world powers, plus Iran, lifted sanctions on Iran, or most of them, in exchange for limits on its nuclear program. You know, the fruit of more than a decade of diplomacy, the pact was designed to prevent Iran from making a nuclear bomb. You know, Trump has complained, Melody, that the deal, which was the signature foreign policy achievement of his predecessor, Barack Obama, did not address Iran's ballistic missile program or its nuclear activities beyond 2025, or more short-term, its role in conflicts in Yemen and Syria. So Trump's decision looks like it's going to raise the risk of deepening conflicts in the Middle East, certainly puts the U.S. at odds with European diplomatic and business interests, and now has cast further uncertainty over global oil supplies, which we'll talk about in a little bit. Plus, could also strengthen the hand of hardliners at the expense of reformers in Iran's political scene. Melody.
Well, you know, everyone agrees that this was a bad deal going into it, and it never should have been done. I mean, it was done by an executive order, and it was unwound by an executive order.
Not everybody agrees with that.
And no, it really shouldn't have been done. And it was a bad deal. We gave them billions and billions of dollars. And it should have been a little bit longer term. The problem is we went into this a commitment. We did make a deal with them, so to speak. And, you know, they have all the, and it reminds me a lot of Iraq. You know, they came out, so they had no weapons of mass destruction. You had inspectors going in there. They couldn't find anything, but it didn't seem to matter. The problems I have with pulling out of this agreement is because of the, we talked about a little bit about the those that are involved and who does this really benefit. And, you know, it certainly does benefit, and it could, again, bring us into another conflict with little interest to the United States. And so we know that Iran, you know, after the initial, prior to the 2015, Iran began selling its oil in euros, accepting other currencies, not just the U.S. dollar. And, you know, we don't know what type of impact that has on all of this, because having a petrodollar is a big deal. Most of the countries where you have regime changes, they were all beginning to sell oil in other denominated currencies. So, you know, you kind of can connect the dots. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that, you know, we're protecting the dollar and the world, and being in the world reserve currency. We just recently had China issue their contracts, their oil contracts, in something other than the U.S. dollar. So I think if you wanted to look at the thing that connects all these dots, it really does come down to oil. It comes down to the petrodollar. And, you know, you can throw in Israel and you can throw in, you know, the Saudis. And you look at the fight between the Shiites and the Sunnis, which I'm not an expert at. You know, you see these divisions and you see sides being positioned. So, you know, it's, you know, you look at the European Union, you can look at Germany and you can look at France, and I think it's true. They still have that contract with them. They're going to try to work on it. And President Trump said he would come to the table if Iran decided to, you know, strike up the conversation once again. And so maybe they will. And so it's, you know, I think you wanted to touch a little bit on when we saw the Iranian lawmakers burn the flag and I guess a copy of the deal, Dave.
On live TV, in fact, I just saw another segment of that replayed just before the show went on the air. Lawmakers in the Iranian parliament burned a U.S. flag and a symbolic copy of the agreement that's known as officially as the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, and a number of them chanted "Death to America," a mantra that we've often heard in the past. You know, President Rouhani, who's a reformist who had hoped that the deal would boost living standards in Iran, struck a more pragmatic tone in a televised speech to the Iranian people, saying Iran would negotiate with European countries, China and Russia. You know, Trump's decision to pull out adds strain on the transatlantic alliance. One by one, European leaders came to Washington recently, tried to meet his demands, while at the same time pleading with him to preserve the deal, which I believe had already been done by the time his inauguration was completed. It was just a matter of the right timing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are a number of sanctions that we can talk about that will be reimposed. Do you want to talk about that, Melody?
Yeah, and you know what, I wouldn't have a problem. This deal to pull out of this deal, if I knew it was really for, you know, our interest and not Israel's interest and other countries' interests, you know, that's, you know. So anyway, there are some interesting things. This was released by the Treasury, And this is according to the Treasury Department. And some of the sanctions, there was the deal in 2015 had lifted some of the sanctions and embargoes on Iran in exchange for the country to significantly shrink the scope of its nuclear capabilities. Okay, we know that. The memo Trump signed yesterday triggers a 180-day countdown timer for Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin to reimpose all of the sanctions on Iran that were relaxed under the deal. Now, after passing a 90-day mark on August 6, the following sanctions are going to snap back on Iran. And there was one in here that I didn't know was there. But number one is sanctions on Iran buying or acquiring U.S. dollars. This is the one that I find interesting. Sanctions on Iran trading gold and other precious metals. Sanctions on Iran sale, supply, or trade of metals such as aluminum, steel. And again, we just had the tariffs placed on aluminum and steel. Sanctions on significant sales or purchases of Iranian rials or the maintenance of significant funds or accounts outside the country using Iranian rials. Sanctions on using Iranian debt. Iranian auto sanctions. The U.S. will also revoke certain permissions granted to Iran under the deal on August 6. These include halting Iran's ability to export its carpets and foods into the U.S., as well as ending certain licensing-related transactions. So some of those are really interesting. I don't think they ever get talked about. You know, we hear sanctions. You know, we hear, you know, the big companies. But you really, I haven't heard, and I'm didn't know it was detailed down into the gold and precious metals, and we all knew about the SWIFT clearinghouse, and so yeah, that's kind of the norm. But
yeah, so, and that's just the first level of sanctions. I mean, there's another level that will kick in on November 4th. That's 180 days. Sanctions on Iran's port, as well as the country's shipping sectors, sanctions on buying oil, technically petroleum and petrochemical products with a number of Iranian oil companies, sanctions on foreign financial institutions doing business with the Central Bank of Iran and other Iranian banks, sanctions on the provision of certain financial messaging services to Iran's central bank and other banks, sanctions on the provision of underwriting services, insurance, or reinsurance, as well as direct sanctions on Iran's energy sector. And then the following day, on November 5th, the Trump administration will disallow U.S.-owned foreign entities from being allowed to engage in certain transactions with Iran and Iranian companies. And then sanctions on certain Iranian individuals will also be reimposed the day after, on November 5th.
Well, Trump's decision to reimpose sanctions on Iran threatens to tighten these global oil markets. And, of course, it's going to derail tens of billions of dollars in business deals. And we're going to have to hold those thoughts. I hear the music, and that 20 minutes went by quick. And we'll be right back, because these few messages will also go by very quickly.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light Systems today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Elodie Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Dave Allen. And once again, thank you for joining us. We were talking, going into the break, about the various sanctions that are being placed on Iran and some of these impacts that will, in various sections of oil, and those who will try to salvage the deal. And yes, I did lose my spot here, ladies and gentlemen. So, Dave, take it over. Help me out here, would you please?
Oh, you're doing just fine. You were just telling listeners about Trump's decision to reimpose the sanctions and how that's going to, you know, tighten the global oil markets and could derail tens of billions of dollars in business deals.
Ladies and gentlemen, we do have cheat sheets here, you know, and sometimes they get out of order, but everyone on radio has cheat sheets. So, but so yeah, you have the sanctions, and there's going to be a lot of penalties. Some won't be immediate, and hopefully it'll equal a new negotiation abilities to see what can happen. By August or November, Iran's going to have to comply with a broad array of sanctions, and so let's see where it heads, Dave.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about the first deadline in August and then later in November and how that's going to affect a number of businesses. There's one RBC Capital Markets economist that thinks that, you know, Iranian oil exports could be reduced by 200,000 to 300,000 barrels a day. Not sure who's going to pick up that slack. We talked a little bit about that last week. There's also, you know, the Secretary of Treasury, Steven Mnuchin, talked about Boeing that Melody mentioned a little bit earlier about that Boeing's license to sell aircraft to Iran is going to be revoked. The company signed a $3 billion deal for 737 MAX jets and a $16+ billion deal with national carrier Iran Air for 80 aircraft. And there's no question that that deal would be in jeopardy and possibly thousands of jobs in various U.S. locations could be hurt. Obviously, Boeing's going to consult with the U.S. government on the next steps and obviously look for some kind of exemption if that piece of it is included in the sanctions. There's also a 20-year, $5 billion agreement on Iran's offshore gas field with the Chinese National Petroleum Corp that could be affected, and also France's Airbus Group license with Iran would be revoked. That has they have a contract with Iran for 100 jetliners worth about $19 billion at list prices. Interesting times, Melody.
It certainly is. Did you want to continue and tell us about oil prices and how they rose to a 3-year high today?
Well, they did, and they keep going up right now. You know, U.S. That's after The U.S. Told buyers of Iranian oil that they'd have 6 months to curb their purchases or face tough penalties from the U.S. You know, while the full impact of the U.S. decision to withdraw from the nuclear deal is still unclear, you know, the reimposition of these sanctions, some of them far-reaching, is expected to start reducing shipments from Iran, which is the Middle East's third largest oil producer. You know, the Treasury, U.S. Treasury, said its intention was to curb Iran's crude sales, period. Although it did say they'd offer potential exemptions from penalties only for nations that substantially decrease their purchases. JBC Energy said in a note that they expect to see a sharp drop from all sides over the next couple of months. And that's just as crude markets reach peak seasonal tightness. You know, we were talking, Melody, last week about gasoline at the pumps going to $3 a gallon for regular. We could see possibly significantly higher, another maybe quarter to maybe even 50 cents higher, you know, if this tightening takes on a much more extreme course than, what's currently been written into the futures. So what are your thoughts?
Well, it could be. And naturally, you know, when everybody else is walking on, you know, with can't have any savings and so forth, it will hurt people, particularly going into the summer months, vacation and so forth. The only thing that I don't get with, and I might be missing something, and is what is the outcome for Iran? What do we want? Is it just basically a longer term so they can't, you know, have a program?
What are we asking?
What is the bottom line?
I think it depends who you ask. But I think at the crux of it is a desire that obviously isn't going to be discussed in public. And it's regime change.
You're right. Yeah, that's, yes. Yes.
You know, I mean, it's sort of like the 600-pound elephant in the room.
Yes. Yes.
And this is just, you know, since we no longer, you know, are into assassinations or heavily manipulated foreign elections, unless we're the victims.
We're the creators.
Yeah, we've got to be a little bit more creative or circumspect, and I don't know. That's my take on this. That the military-industrial complex, the generals in particular, maybe some of the senior level policymakers, civilian policymakers, are convinced that Iran. That the hardliners in charge of the government are responsible for, the exporting of terrorism, the financing of it anyway, to a large extent, because of that, you know, this is a way that they feel they've got to squeeze them, so there'll be an uprising among the general populace there. That could result in regime change, but you know, as the Arab Spring, as Libya have taught us, you know, it's be careful what we ask for, because there are little guarantees halfway across the world.
Well, you know, it's interesting too. If they want regime change, and supposedly their economy is not doing well. Although we gave them hundreds of billions of, you know, $150 billion with
yeah,
this deal in cash and cash. But with oil prices rising, that should help them. It should help their economy. And I saw last week where Trump said that he was a little unhappy because the oil prices were rising. It wasn't because gasoline prices would increase. It was
right.
Because it kind of, I don't know if it would, you know, challenge, you know, these sanctions and everything and put the pressure for regime change by the youth of Iran. And I don't know how you get rid of those hardliners unless you go in there and you physically do it. But they want the regime change in Syria. They want the regime change. You know, we have all these sanctions being placed on Russia. They want a regime change in Venezuela. And my always question is, what do we get out of it? What right do we got to go in there and go into these nations and tell them who's, you know? But anyway, that's another program, different story. But prices can also for oil be helped yesterday by the American Petroleum Institute. They said there was a report, a 1.85 million barrel drop in nationwide crude stockpiles last week. And the oil hoard likely increased by 1 billion barrels last week. And that was according to the median estimate of analysts that was surveyed by Bloomberg. There's a couple of other things that we want to touch on. Dave, the 10-year Treasury topped 3% again. We had pressure on the dollar. And as we saw, crude rally.
Bond traders' obsession with this 3% level on the 10-year Treasury, we'll see. I haven't seen results of today's $25 billion auction of the 10-year. We now know the benchmark Treasury yield hit that so-called key psychological level of 3% last month for the first time since 2014. While that was an achievement of sorts, it's been almost 7 years since investors were able to purchase 10-year notes with a fixed 3% coupon at auction. We'll try and find out by the end of the show. If we don't, I'm sure we'll be able to talk about it tomorrow. The 10-year yield rose above 3% during Asia trading this morning, for the first time in a couple of weeks, and also finished at, what was it, 3.006 in the U.S. Today. So, you know, how the market reacts to the higher rate may help Wall Street settle the debate over whether the bond market sell-off has run its course for now. Beware of that, though, folks. I mean, it's a question that's taken on added significance, you know, as the government is ramping up these auctions to finance our incredible out-of-sight deficits. Now, according to Treasury rules, the yield at an auction of new securities, like today, can't be below the coupon. In other words, the department's going to issue debt at either par value or a discount, meaning a lower price and a higher yield than the stated interest rate of, you know, say 3%. You know, in the case of the 10-year note, that coupon is then locked in for reopenings in the subsequent 2 months of that quarter. So it was 2.75% at the past three sales. I'm based on my limited knowledge of the intricacies of auctions, I'd be surprised if it came off at 3%. But it's quite possible, Melody. That particularly, you know, last month's were said to have lower international demand, especially if they saw that today. Well, then maybe it did hit 3%. But it seems to be the most attention that people are paying in the bond market anyway these days, because the 10-year is typically tied to how to mortgages, particularly adjustable rate mortgages, as well as auto loans and other consumer loans.
Well, you know, as those bonds are losing value, you have these markets and you have this financial system that is continued to be propped up by an ever-increasing amount of debt and leverage. And gold and silver buyers need to understand the two most important reasons to invest in gold and silver. And the first is for insurance against a financial meltdown and or disintegration of fiat currency. Our dollar isn't backed by anything. Well, it's backed by oil, the petrol dollar. And we're looking and we talk about Venezuela. holding precious metals as an insurance policy isn't anything new. We talk about it here all the time. That's how you have to look to gold. And it seems as if it is a percentage may have forgotten this critical role of gold. Most individuals understand the importance of owning auto or housing insurance, but have no idea why it's also wise to purchase precious metals insurance. Most people would choose to buy health insurance for at least catastrophic protection in case of a major accident or severe illness. Insurance is designed to protect individuals against substantial financial losses from auto, home, or health-related risk. For that reason alone, precious metals needs to be purchased on an ongoing basis, just like most other insurance policies. And while some of us has paid auto insurance without any accidents, we are sure glad we have it when one finally arrives. We're going to talk a little bit about this tomorrow in the first segment of the program, and we have James Corbett will be joining us. He's back on vacation, so we're looking forward to that, and we'll talk a little bit. Well, we'll update you on the news in the beginning, and also we'll talk a little bit about gold and the reasons why you need to buy gold and why you can't forget. There's been a lot of disinformation over the years. You've been taken down the road of promises. The COMEXs aren't going to be delivering, and you know the ratios and trade and do this and do that, while everyone is forgetting the main fundamental reasons why you buy gold and silver. And that is what I have preached day in and day out. You don't sensationalize something that's so important to a family's preservation of their purchasing power. You know, it's just not about going out there and making trades like you hear so often and create stories to get people to pick up the phone and call. But call us, 1-800-375-4188. Dave, thank you for joining us today. And I will be back tomorrow with James Corbett. Until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Bye-bye.
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.